I'm really excited about today's podcast. I know we're going to get right into it, but I want to invite you to Florida. Just think about how warm it's going to be there. Our revival is coming up February 9th, 10th, and 11th. 3 days of heaven on earth in the Sunshine State. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit is going to be there in a big, prolific way. And so I want to encourage you to come down and see us. It doesn't cost a lot of money to get in a car and make a road trip with your friends and come down and be a part of this revival. So for more information today, of course, you can go to log on to the website at faithchurch.com and just check it out in West Palm Beach. It's going to be great. In fact, Tuesday night, we're actually taking it to the Boynton Beach High School. If you know anybody in that area, make sure you tell them. Let's get right on into today's talk.
Anybody else good at causing trouble? Anybody else gotten themselves in some trouble? Yeah, I remember one time I got myself in trouble. I was still really young and cute. I was not quite in kindergarten yet. Actually, I brought the picture of my first day of kindergarten. Do you want to see it? Are you sure? Okay. I know. Look at that little face. That does not look like a face that could get in trouble, right? Oh, contraire, mon frère. I don't remember what I did, but I remember the punishment. Did anybody ever hear this? Go out into the backyard and pick your own switch. No, do not do this to me. So I went out in the backyard. And I was not only cute when I was in kindergarten, I was also smart when I was in kindergarten. I started picking up the sticks and hiding them and holding them with me so that there would be no sticks in the yard. And as I was picking them up, I would throw them over the fence. We're good. But the whole time that I was walking around, I was thinking about what I did, and I was thinking about what was wrong, and I was thinking about how much trouble I was in, and I was wondering if I was ever going to get out of that trouble. And as I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, well, kind of, except for I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, actually, now I was going to get in double trouble. The enemy was letting me know, you're going to get in double trouble. There's no way out of this. I can't believe you did this. What kind of kid are you? Why do your parents even want you? Has the devil ever beat you up over something that you did? And it was almost even worse than what you did. I know, I felt like I was going under. So I went out into my parents' house and I'm like, hey, mom, dad, sorry. There are absolutely no sticks in the yard. It was the cleanest the yard had ever been in its life. And my parents said, yeah, we know that's absolutely not true or possible. So go pick your own switch off the tree. Snap, I knew that was going to hurt even more. And they said, and because you lied, no dinner. So here it is, I was already done something wrong. I already had a punishment. The devil was already punished me on top of my punishment. I was trying to figure out my way out of the punishment. And I realized when I'm back out in the yard walking, I'm talking to the devil who's beating up on me. And I'm talking to myself about how I might be able to try to get myself out of it. I was talking to the devil, talking to myself, but I never bothered to talk to God. You ever do that when you're in trouble? You'll talk to yourself, you'll talk to the devil, you'll talk to anybody who will listen, but you forget to rope in the big guy. You feel like you're going under. Boy, I have a holy crowd here at this one. I'm going to ask you one more time in the house of God. You ever talk to everybody else and you talk to the devil, but you forgot to talk to God? I know, it's what we do. It's because what the enemy sets us up to do. He tries to get us feeling so bad that we won't go to God because he knows that that's our source of power and deliverance. We start to feel like we're going under. And so that's why I wrote this book. It's called Hi God, One More Thing. It's how to have tough conversations with God. And it released this past Thursday. It actually pre-released this last Thursday on Facebook. Thank you. And I'm really excited about getting to share it with people because the topics are things like, they're not fancy, they're just true. It's like, I'm mad. You ever been so mad that you couldn't talk to God because you thought you might cuss in your prayer? Like, I don't even cuss, but I've been like that mad, like I just can't even talk to Jesus right now because I'd hate to mess up there. You know what I mean? Or like one, it's like, I'm embarrassed. Like you're dealing with so much shame over a situation. Like if people find out about this, what are they going to think? Or like when you're wrestling with God, it's like he's telling you something, but you don't want to listen. And or your dream gets delayed. Like, God, I know you gave me this dream, but nothing is happening. What is going on? Or you're in the wrong fight. You're up there slugging it out as hard as you can, and you're making no progress, and you realize, am I even fighting the right fight? I wrote this one called Going Under because I felt like I was going under, and that lady is waving herself with a fan. Fan me too, baby. It's warm in here. That's my way of asking facilities to turn the heat down. But you know what? You're not expecting a 67-degree day in January. That's just the Lord being nice to us and rooting for the Chiefs. So this says, going under. God, I'm surprised you didn't hear the sound of me gurgling when I said that. I've been trying to keep my head above water, and I'm not sure that I can. I've been treading water for as long as I can, and it seems like the water's getting higher and higher. I can imagine what Peter felt like when he said, starting to sink. I'm still breathing, which means I'm not under. Yet I feel like I'm in the same place that Peter was. You ever been under so much stress you have to remind yourself to breathe? You're like, oh, breathe. And then you forget to breathe out, and you're like, oh, wait, breathe out. Has that ever been you? This is for you in that space. That's where I was when I wrote it. It says, as if it worked for him, it will work for me. I cry out to you right now, Lord, save me. Even though Peter stopped having faith for a moment, you didn't let him sink. Your mercy, your love, compassion overflowed when Peter cried, Lord, save me. Actually, that's what I want you to do right now. I want you to say, Lord, save me.
Lord, save me.
Okay, that was really good. You did that just like a church congregation. Which is funny because, like, you are a church congregation. But this time I want you to do it, like, forget the other people are here. And think about the moments that you need to really talk to God about. And invite him into that conversation with a repentant and a needing heart. And it will change everything. You'll watch the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere of the room change. Are you ready? I want you to say, Lord, save me on the count of three. One, two, three.
Lord,
you feel the difference? There's words, and then there's really inviting him into a moment. When Peter yelled these words, Jesus, you didn't hesitate. You came immediately. As I cry out these words, I know that you're with me, stretching up your hand to lift me up. You won't let me fall. I know I need you. I know you're filled with mercy. I know that you died so I could live. The Bible tells me that you loved me first. Even when I fail myself. My failure doesn't separate us. It simply gives me an opportunity to lean into your forgiveness and compassion. Your love for me is so much deeper than the troubles that surround me. Jesus, you came to seek and save people just like me. You know, Jesus is not thrown off by the fact that we need him so bad. And he came to seek and save us in that position that we were in. So I'm back in the backyard. And okay, I got to go find a switch on a tree. And I see my friend Dawn on the other side of the fence. And she's eating Dairy Queen. I'm like, way to rub it in, God. So I come over and I sit down by the fence and I say, hey, what are you doing? And oh, my family, we just went to Dairy Queen. It was awesome. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally starving. Why are you starving? I'm grounded. They're going to give me a whipping up a switch in a tree, and I'm not even getting dinner. And she's like, you're not going to get dinner? Are you hungry? I'm like, I'm totally hungry. And she said, do you want some of my ice cream? And I'm like, okay. And she gave me a bite of ice cream through the fence. And then she just kept feeding me. I want to let you know she was eating this a minute ago, and we only have one spoon. I also think it's only fair to tell you that this is a 100% true and accurate story, but I've been fasting carbs and sugar, and I love breaking my fast in Jesus' name for you. This is just for you. A visual you will never forget. But I thought it was so amazingly interesting how God would provide sustenance in the time of my depressed circumstance. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I was actually in trouble. I was starving. And God doesn't just say, hey, I'll feed you food. No, He didn't send me broccoli when I was five. He sent me ice cream when I was five. It wasn't plain ice cream. They gave me diet ice cream up here. I'm like, thanks for helping me with my fast, guys. She had Dairy Queen. It was a concrete. It had chunks of candy in it. It was awesome. God's not going to just push you down and kick you when you're down. He says, even when you're down, I'll provide you with the good stuff. I'm a God who knows how to provide for you and correct you and whip your tail and get you to where you need to be. He's a good and loving God. Somebody just praise him like he's worthy. Woo! God gave me a friend. He wants to give you a circle of friends. That's what God does. He will send you a person. That's why you need to be in the right church. That's a good place to say amen. That's why you need to have the right pastor. That's why you need to be in the right connect group. That's why you need to leave the turkeys at work. If they're being turkeys, leave them behind. You can't soar with the eagles and hang out with the turkeys. You know what I'm saying? You got to get the right people around you in your circle of friends. You need a Dawn in your life who's like, use me. God did it all through the Bible. When Mary was a pregnant, unwed mother, he gave her an Elizabeth to take care of her. When David was fighting this king, he not only gave him a friend, he gave him the king's son, Jonathan, to stand next to him. When there was this guy named Lot and his uncle was leaving, he was going to have no family, he didn't know what to do, he gave him an uncle named Abraham to take him with him. When Saul was killing Christians and went blind because of it, he sent him an Ananias to heal him anyway. When there was an Ethiopian saying, I don't know about God, I want to know about God, I'm reading the Bible, it makes no sense to me at all, he sent him a man named Philip who could run as fast as the horse that he was on to catch up with him in his fast-paced life and give him the word and get him baptized. And he'll do it through so many ways. He'll do it through the church, through the small groups, through the people he puts around you. He'll do it through a book. He'll do it through a podcast. So yesterday, I got down on my couch for my personal study time, and I knew there was a book that I was supposed to read, so I grab it, and I set it next to me, and I write in my prayer journal about yesterday, and I go back, and I type the words, follow the favor, about yesterday. And then as I'm going back through January 1 to that day, I just felt led to kind of read through it, and I saw the words, follow the favor, three or four times, and they were... You ever read words and they kind of jump off the page at you? And then I looked down at the book that God had me grab, and it's by Joel Osteen. You know what the title of the book was? Favor. It was one of those things I just knew. So I needed to write a sermon, but that was something I needed to do. This was a conversation that God was wanting to have with me. So I sat with Joel Osteen on my couch for an hour yesterday. I mean, he doesn't know he was there. He was in Houston. But God still will put the right people in the right place at the right time. But we have to do the work to go out and meet them. Dawn never crossed the fence. Joel never came to my house. I had to listen to God and grab the book. And Abraham, turn with me to Genesis 18. So I'm going to tell this story. And as I tell the story and quote some of the scripture, they'll put it on the screens for you if you don't have your Bible today. But Abraham was sitting in his tent. He was comfortable. Everything was seemingly good, I guess. I mean, there's some unrealized promises, some unrealized dreams. He hasn't attained everything just yet. And it was the hottest part of the day. I think part of that means that Abraham was 100 years old and so was Sarah. I think part of that means it was physically hot. And I think part of that means they were almost expired in what they thought was their faith. You see, you ever heard the saying, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen? You ever been in that place in your life where it's too hot, God, I can't take it, like the water is boiling, I think they're trying to cook me? You see, God is not going to come so early in your life and take care of everything that we can mistake that it was us who actually did it. Oh, I'm just so smart. Oh, I'm just so gifted. Oh, I just have such a silver tongue. I can talk my way out of anything. No, if you are all of those things, it's only because God made you that way. You didn't do it. You didn't gift yourself. You didn't get yourself out of it. It was all God, God, God. And every now and then he has to remind us of that because faith only begins where our ability ends. So we have to realize, I can't fix this, which is one of the titles in the book, for us to even walk in faith. So it's the hottest part of the day, and this is the chapter that three different scriptures in James 2:23 and in John 14 and different places in the Bible, it says Abraham was a friend of God because of what happens next. Yahweh himself comes down in the form of a person with two angels. And it says it was Yahweh. And Abraham sees them walking by and he's comfortable in his tent. And he could have just let them go. But instead, in verse 3, he gets up, he gets uncomfortable, he pursues it. He does something he wouldn't usually do and he runs out and he says, Master, oh, Master, please, if you'll stop, man, I'll go get some water. I'll wash your feet. Oh, you can rest right here. We'll put you in the shade. We'll put you under a tree. We'll make some food. Can we make you some food? Would you stay around if we made you some food? You see, he's going around. He's like, I'm not going to just sit here and wait for everything to come to me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to invite God into the conversation. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to pursue God. God's got the right people around him. He brought the angels with him. If God's got the right people around him, I need the right circle of friends around me. He's going to get it done. Amen. If you haven't written anything down yet today, write this down. This is a good one. You will never resolve a situation without a conversation. That friend that you are not getting along with, that's not going to fix itself. That thing you're not talking about in your marriage, with your kids, not going to fix itself. That thing you're not talking about with God, not going to fix itself. We got to get into the conversation. So here Abram spends the next hour or two over dinner talking with God. And the benefit of talking with God, watch how God works fast. Peter cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reaches down. Abraham sits with God for an hour. And within an hour, God says to Abraham, and I think it's verse 9, he says, hey, where's Sarah at? You see, Sarah's been back in the kitchen. She's out mixing her stuff up, making the food, pressing her ear to the door, but taking care of everything. And God was wondering, well, why isn't she sitting here eating with us? He's like, oh, she's in back. He said, well, let me tell you this. A year from now, I'm coming back. And when I come back, you're going to have a baby. Well, you heard me say that they're both like 100 years old, right? Sarah is in the back in the kitchen in a different room, and she doesn't even laugh out loud. She laughs within herself. She's like, Abraham's 100 years old. He don't even look at me like that anymore. He doesn't ask me to put on my little dresses anymore. He never even goes, hey, girl, how you doing? He pulls none of the lines. And ever since I've been through that thing about 50 years ago, man, you better pause. Ever since I've been through that, I knew we weren't having a baby. God is funny. And God goes in the other room. He said, why did Sarah laugh at me? So you see, God's not playing. God gets offended when he thinks that we think that he can't pull it off. He's like, are you seriously putting what a doctor said over what I can do? Are you seriously putting what happens to everybody else over what I can do? Are you seriously putting what the bank said over what I can do? I'm just wondering, whose word are you taking over God's? Don't let people talk you out of your dream. Don't let people tell you you're not going to be healed. Don't let people tell you you can't afford the house. Don't let people tell you you're never going to get well. Don't let people tell you the marriage ain't going to work out. Don't let people tell you about what God can't do. One touch of his favor, baby, because he's your friend, it will catapult you to the top of a mountain. I'm telling you right now, you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're a blessing going somewhere to bless other people. Come on, somebody give him a shout of praise. Woo! He's able to do it even when you're a hot mess. I remember being a hot mess. I mean, when I was 5, I was cute. When I got in trouble, when I was 25, I wasn't quite as cute. I'd married a guy who became a drug addict, and he became abusive when he got addicted to crack cocaine. And so one day I called my friends, Christy and Tara, to come and get me after he came in and he tore. We were separated. I had a restraining order. Restraining orders don't do anything. They're a piece of paper. He came in the house. He tore everything apart. He tore me apart. And when they got there, there was a hole in the wall where he'd thrown me through it. He'd turned over some furniture. He'd turned over an end table. There was a potted plant on the end table. The soil went everywhere in the light-colored carpet. He'd grabbed me by my dress so hard that part of my dress had ripped off. It threw me on the floor. I was covered in the dirt. It was ground into the carpet. It was a mess. My friends came in and said, this is not good. You can't do this. We can see where this is going, and we really need you to see where this is going, because the end of this thing is not a good thing, right? You need to get out of this. You see, they were telling me with a physical voice what God had been telling me in the spirit, but I just didn't want to hear it. And that's why we need people to reinforce it. That's why you need a pastor who's not afraid of the word. That's why you need a small group that's really going to talk to you with honest talk. That's why you need to get the people around you, because I want to help you miss the things that I've walked through. You can miss it if you hear him. You can miss it if you don't live like I did. You can miss it if you hear what he's saying. You can miss the Laban business partner. You know, the business, he might want you to start the business, just not with them. Because there are some slimy people who are going to try and take you for everything that you have. If God ever tells you no, it's never for less. It's always for more. We need to know when to call out on God. You know, even Ashton, we found this video the other day, and she was like 3, and she must not have been feeling good, because she was just rolling, I brought a clip of the video. It's only like 20 seconds. Check this out. You're going to love this. I don't know how to read. Somebody read it to me. She was 3 years old and she knew, I just need to connect with God. Believe it or not, we have the rest of that video, and within 5 minutes of reading the Bible, she jumps out of bed and goes over and starts hanging on the doorknob, you know, like kids do, like a little thing. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm hungry. Within a moment, God can pull Peter out of the water. Within a moment, God can feed me when I couldn't have dinner. Within a moment, God can take you from sick in bed to healed and wanting food. Within a moment. What circle are you running in? This says, I've always wanted a best friend. You know, I don't know if you had a best friend. I remember between 6th and 8th grade, I was bullied because of a molestation happened when I was younger. I lived in a small town on a country road, a dirt road. Only a few hundred people in the whole town probably. And I didn't have a best friend. And it certainly wasn't God. And God really wants to be your best friend. That says, hi, God, I find myself telling people how good you are and they should pray and ask you for things. I get really excited for them. I can sit there and envision you doing like something wild for them. Then it comes to my prayer time. Suddenly I get a little tense. I hate to say rigid, but I definitely don't start gushing every thought, dream, and desire to you. I can't imagine how that must hurt your feelings. You love me more than anything. You knew that I was going to do wrong before you decided to create me. You knew that I would let you down. You knew that I would fall. You knew that I would fail. You knew I would get mad. You knew. And yet, your love never changed. Only my perception of your love changed. I started hiding things from you so that, what, you wouldn't find out? You already know. All you want is intimacy with me, for me to trust you with things that I would hesitate to tell my best friend, things you already know but want me to confide in you anyway. You've never given up my secrets. It doesn't even occur to you to kick me when I'm down. You're the lifter of my head. When I count myself out, you smile, pick me up, and whisper in my ear, my child, not your strength, mine. Lean into me. I'm here. I've always been here. Let me carry the weight. You see, I want you to get out a piece of paper or a phone, or can you grab something just for a minute real quick? I want you to write something down. In the journal and in the study guide, I ask you questions because there's not a pastor, there's not a church, there's not a person who can take you deeper in God. The only person who can take you deeper in God is you, and you have to be willing to do the work like Abraham did the work. And if you've got that thing out right now, it could even be this postcard thing they gave you as you walked in, I want you to write down 5 things. I want you to write down the 5 things that you haven't been talking to God about, that you know you need to talk to God about. And you need to do 5 because the first one is fluff. And the second one is obvious. Like, I need to talk to God about the fact that I'm smarting off to my husband. Yeah, everybody knows that, right? I need to talk about the fact that my kids are driving me crazy. Yeah, everybody knows that. I need to talk to you about the fact that I can't stop eating when nobody's looking. I need to talk to you about the fact that I'm clicking on things on my computer that I know I shouldn't, and I haven't gone all the way yet, but I'm going a little too far. I need to talk to you about the fact that I really like it when that person at work looks at me this certain way, and I would never do anything, but there's still a feeling that I know I shouldn't be feeling. What are those things? And then look at your own paper. Don't look at anybody else's, but let me tell you this. If you won't do the work, you won't break the yoke. And if you won't identify the thing, you certainly can never talk to God about a thing you will never identify. So right now, I want you to do the work to get you over the hurdle. The enemy's been telling you that you can't have this conversation with God, and I'm here as a representative of God today telling you, you have to have this conversation with God. It is the only way out of this situation. So you're writing down the five things. Why? You're writing down the five things because you probably won't even trust your closest circle of friends with those five things. But your circle of friends can get you here, but only your relationship with God can get you there. God did not leave you. God did not bring you this far to leave you here. He's got places for you to go. He's got people for you to see. He wants to surround you with a support system to grow your hopes and dreams. That's why he's got you here today. That's why I wrote the book. So here's the really cool thing. You got one of these, hopefully, as you came in today. I got surrounded by some really generous people. There is a circle of friends who are really generous, and they're helping us do something we've never been able to do before. And that is the fact that, well, I have to be honest, this book is fake. It's a new cover printed out on a copy machine on the old High God book with some inserts that I cut out and put in there from the new book because the printer is actually right now printing the new book as we speak. What I didn't realize is it takes 6 to 8 weeks to print a book, Ferguson Fluorescent. You would never believe this. It takes 6 to 8 weeks to print a book. And so as they're printing the book right now, somebody said, okay, I'm going to pay for all the books. And they're at the printer, and I don't want them to wait because when they come off the printing press, I'm learning all these things, they go from the printer to the publisher, from the publisher to the distributor, from the distributor, that's where it goes to the church, to the store, to Amazon. So it's like weeks and weeks more. They said, no, I want them to get them right away. So if you go to, do you have your phone out real quick? Get your phone out because this person did a lot of work and we want to get them to you for free. And you can do two things. If you're an internet person, go to NicoleCrank.com/freegift. Or if you're text, do you do text to give? If you do text to give, you can open up your text app. And when you go to your text app, you text 33777. That's the number you text. And the only word you put down there is the word circle, like there is on the stage right now. And when you do that, it'll walk you through these steps. The one thing that you have to pay for is the stamps for the actual printer to mail it from the printer to you. We have somebody who's bought 5,000 books for free. Here's the trouble that we're in. Between Facebook and today, by the end of the day, we might be out of the 5,000 free books. The good news is I'm praying that somebody else generous is going to come along so that we can keep giving free books away. So you guys be believing with me that we can continue to give away free books, but I also don't want you to miss the opportunity to get the free book and have to wait until they print a whole nother batch of them. And why do I want you to get the book? I want you to get the book because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, Goliath, as David faced Goliath, he said, you come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. You do have a sword. It's called the sword of the Spirit. And this helps you to resource the word on a deeper level. Each one of the section has God's word behind it with scriptures so that you can back up the bold prayers that you're going to be praying. But I don't want to see you suffer with the things that I suffered with. I want to see you miss those mountains. I want you to see the mountains move on your behalf, just like he said that they would in Mark 11:23-24. And matter of fact, I want to pray with you right now. If you wrote down some things on a piece of paper, would you raise your hand? I want those folks to stand with me right now because let me tell you, as you're standing, God didn't heal you of that headache to let you die of cancer. God didn't pay your rent that one time so that you could end up bankrupt or homeless. If you've got a lump, you're not supposed to walk around saying, that lump. No, you're supposed to be able to look at it and say, you're trespassing on God's property. You see, I'm a king's kid, and I have certain rights that my daddy wrote in a contract for me. But for us to have those kinds of bold conversations, we can't be shying away because of how the devil and the enemy is trying to make us feel and hold those things away from the only one who can change it. So I want to say right now, I'm proud of you for identifying things that you're ready to take to God and say, God, none of me, but all of you. And if you wouldn't mind raising your hands to heaven right now, we're going to call on the name of Jesus. You know, when Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just decree and declare that I don't know what to do, but you know what to do. And I just want to say thank you, God, for the ability to walk out and call your name. God, I'll walk in circles around my living room, and instead of calling on the name of the problem, I'll call on the name of Jesus. I'll just say, God, I don't know what to pray. So I'll just say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it can be a one-word prayer. But when I feel your presence enter the room, I can no longer walk, but I have to kneel because your power is so great. And as we loose your great name, because there is nothing greater than the name, there's no marriage problem greater than the name, there's no diagnosis greater than the name, there's no anxiety greater than the name, there's no person greater than the name, there's no law greater than the name, there's no doctor greater than the name. Nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. So we declare your thunderous voice and your lightning power and your flood of favor over your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I certainly meant it to be a blessing to you. I'd love for you to share it with your friends, rate it, make sure you're subscribed to it if you're not already. Also, I would like to encourage you to come to Florida. This is going to be an easy sell for you because it's warm. February 9th, 10th, and 11th, man. My friends from all over upstate, New York, Canada, they're flying in because it's warm and there's going to be some Holy Ghost heat there because it's going to be the revival. Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. That's right, February 9th, 10th, and 11th. So I want you to be a part of it. If you just get on the website today at faithchurch.com, you can find out all the information. I mean, maybe you should just take a road trip with your friends. Maybe you could just check out how much the cheapest flight is round trip to get you there. You know, make it one way so you just move to Florida. That's a better idea. They can ship your stuff. So seriously, I want you to be a part of it. So go to faithchurch.com. And again, thanks for listening. Make sure you rate, you know, and write reports about this as well as subscribe to this podcast. If it blesses you, I want you to tell your friends about it because they need to hear this word. 2020 is your year to see with 2020 vision the hopes and dreams become a reality.